The good. The bad. The ugly.
Welcome to Sustain Nutrition's podcast, Chewing the Fat, where Joe and James will be discussing all things good, bad and ugly regarding training and nutrition. So pull up your pants, put your best foot forward and get ready for some serious oral pleasure. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
Sustain.
Nutrition.
Chewing.
The.
Fat.
Podcast.
How did you forget that bit? Episode.
Do I say episode? No, I don't say episode. 101.
Because if we said episode podcast, that would make no sense. Joe, what are we talking about? We haven't actually decided on an official.
This is the bit I don't like.
We've had this organised for months, Joe, this contest.
Right, imagine if we had guests. It'd be an absolute nightmare.
Got some guests coming up. Right.
John Brady's on the call, James. You need to be here.
What? I'm in Scarborough. exercise and fat loss, which is quite a broad spectrum, but it means we can cover a lot and it won't be as bad when we go off on massive tangents.
It won't be a carbon copy of the running and fat loss podcast we did in episode 24. I don't know. I'm making it up.
Right. Exercise. And fat loss. So, again, age-old problem or thing that we hear, isn't it, when people are like, I've sprained my ankle. I can't do any exercise. That's why I've gained a ton of weight. Or do I have to do a load of weight? Yeah, no. We'll get into that. Do I have to do a load of exercise to lose weight? Or, you know, it's the exercise bit that I need help with to lose weight. Now, they're all massive red flags for me that there is something drastically wrong with your diet. Or not drastically wrong, but something that can be done with your diet. If you are maintaining your weight or losing weight, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, whether it's injury or whatever, you can't exercise and you start gaining weight, that's a red flag for your diet. There's some work to be done. If you are exercising so much that it's offsetting excess calories, then there's definitely some wiggle room in your diet. Thoughts, Joe?
100% is, I think, when you do this job for a long period of time, and I think that it's very easy, and we're always super conscious of not getting into arguments with people, is that you have to phrase these things very gently. The number of times I've heard, I lose weight slowly, I don't lose weight, I get stuck at this weight, I can't do this, I've never got below this weight, you know, would be hundreds upon hundreds. And then people start, they log their food, they lose weight. The process works. You need to sign up. No. But that's so true to a degree, is because as soon as people become accountable, they try something new. You know, there's not many systems out there that provide the level of accountability that we do. Is it makes a massive difference, and it shows people what's possible. And I think I talked about this the week, that people come into so many situations with, this is how it is, this is my problem, I need to fix this. And a bit like me with my Bell's palsy, thinking that, oh, the doctor's told me this, this is how it is. Well, actually, it's just one doctor. That's just one situation. And odds on, a doctor's not told you because you sprained your ankle and you've gained 2 stone. That is the story that you're telling yourself. And it's that closed mindset, it's that belief that there's no scope for change. This is just how it is. And it's just not the case. And we were talking about this before the call, of this all or nothing mentality that people have, or these perfectionist tendencies. And there's loads of different personality traits that people have which hamper them. And this is a big one, is that this is how it is, or that, you know, I need to be exercising. And I think, obviously, on a podcast about exercise and fat loss, we are going to eschew the benefits of exercise, but it is not the be-all, end-all. We are called Sustained Nutrition for a reason. You know, we get brilliant results through focusing on people's nutrition. Me and you, I'm pretty confident you're going to say this, we'll back this up, I've got better results as a nutrition coach than I ever got as a personal trainer, hands down. Unbelievable, you know, a marked difference. I would say that percentage-wise, if I were to flick through my clients now compared to percentage-wise as a PT, would be almost laughable. And to think that the going rate of personal training and gym membership was nearly 200 quid a month. It's very interesting to think that our standard package is about 40% of that, around 80 quid a month. And most people, if you wanted to lose weight, would say get a PT. And I think that it's just very interesting to see, isn't it? I think, is there anything there you disagree with, or is that the same story for you?
Yeah, 100%. When you break it down, now, again, you know, me and Joe, we love exercise. Not just for us, you know, a big part of my life, no, it's a big part of your life. I want everyone to exercise, you know, for heart health, for bone density, for all, you know, the health benefits of exercising. However, when it comes to fat loss, it's not the be all and end all. You can get massive amounts of weight off you. And again, you know, without exercising, but, you know, going into it, it's not going to be the deciding factor. It's a tool. And when you look at it, say you train 3 days a week, 3 hours a week, that's it. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you go to the gym, you do a class, whatever, 45-minute class, an hour class. That's easy. Turn up, do the work. That's it. That's not what you're struggling with. You know, 100%, it's the 23 hours that you're struggling with what you put in your mouth. Snigger, snigger. With what you eat. That's the struggles. No one's emotionally not exercising or all or nothing with running. You know what I mean? It's the weekends, it's the evenings, it's the emotional reactions. These are the things that you struggle with. And that's not going to be offset or solved by doing some high knees.
Just to throw a quick caveat in that as well, is that if you are a performance athlete or a physique athlete, and your goal is to have a certain look, then exercise will increase in priority. For our typical demographic, the clients that we traditionally work with, this is what we've seen. There are so many clients, a lady off the top of my head who's lost, I think, like 17 pounds in 7 weeks, and the only exercise she's done, and she's not a big lady, I mean like 12 and a half to 11 and a little bit, all the exercise she's done is 10,000 steps a day. You know, and
you just go, 10,000 steps, Joe.
But that's an increase for her. So all she's done is spend a bit more time on that piece. And that's the story that we see over and over. So, you know, if you are falling outside of our very typical demographic, then that may well apply to you, that exercise is a bigger part. But, you know, you can't out-train a bad diet. There's going to be no one who is a performance athlete or a physique athlete who says, don't worry about your food, just focus on the exercise, because they're not going to get very good results.
And that's it. And I don't think, you know, I suppose another caveat is, like, I don't want people thinking that we're saying don't bother exercising. 100% we want everyone to exercise. Ideal world, ideal client, I suppose, would be someone who embraces progressive resistance training plan, looking to increase the weights, increase the reps, increase the volume that they're lifting each session, does some intervals, maybe at the end of the workout, does some long, slow distance, steady state cardio in between those sessions as well. That would be my ideal client. Now, why is that so important, Joe?
Numerous reasons, isn't it? Because if you look at the composition that people want, or the issues that people have, is that, and I'll start with the thing I said to you before, is that one of the key considerations, there's a few kind of myths to debunk here. There's some stuff that we've gotten wrong before, is that when you add muscle, it doesn't change your calorie output, your metabolic rate massively. It doesn't transform your body into this furnace where you go from being able to burn 1,200 calories a day to 2,000 a day. I think it's something like
a couple of hundred calories, isn't it? I think.
I think it's about 100. I think it's about 15 calories per kilo of muscle, something like that. So you don't have much wiggle room. You're not going to put on more than stone. But in regards to, as you say, bone health, in regards to the amount of calories you can burn over the course of a session, over the course of a day, if you look at the reason the metabolism point is so interesting is because what does change for people then is their activity levels. That people do less and less and get weaker and weaker and more unfit. And so this is the unlimited tool, you know, and you can drive your calories down, but then it's a really negative process. Whereas if people enjoy exercise and they're good at exercise and it's a part of their life, that then is an extra source of pleasure. You know, I've started playing rugby again. I've actually kind of reduced my rowing, playing rugby, joined CrossFit today. It's probably been one of the best weeks I've had socially in a long period of time. You know, coming out of lockdown, working from home, is the physical benefits of that consistent training, the mindset piece about being around other people on a similar process to you, the calorie burn from those sessions alone, the fact that my I am happier with my body when I have a bit more muscle mass and a bit less body fat. So those things should be enough immediately, let alone long-term health. You know, it's not something that I particularly worry about, but there's obvious benefits to that, and it would be more appropriate to most of our clients in the demographic. And as James said, how do you do that? Well, you have a plan that progresses, that gets gradually harder. We've been privy, you know, between us to 15 years plus in gyms. People are in the same workout day in, day out, not looking any different. So you have to make this harder. You have to push your body to the limits. You know, if you are not to the limits, but outside of its comfort zone. You know, a lot of the stuff that we do on the Elite Process is finding people's comfort zones. What makes you sad? I was talking to a lady the other day who's done fantastically as well, and she was saying, I just don't feel very confident. When I go swimming, she hadn't been swimming for, I think it was for years, but she's basically started again, absolutely loving it. She was walking out to the pool, like hiding behind her towel. I said, why? Like, just because I'm not confident. Okay, push outside of that comfort zone. And she said, I walked down to the pool, had my towel by my side. I felt more confident. You know, it's pushing outside of those comfort zones. It's challenging these thought processes. Whether that is with physically, with the exercise that you do, or whether it's emotionally, psychologically, you know, we are all victims of our own environment and culture and circumstance and upbringing. But that doesn't mean it's set. When we talk about fixed and closed mindsets, it's that ability to push outside of those things. And this is the same physically, is that you won't grow if you stay within that comfort zone, if you stay within that sphere. You will burn the same calories, your body will look the same, your health won't improve. And that's not to say, you know, there's certain points where if you can deadlift your body weight, you can back squat 3/4 of it, you can bench press half of it, and you can run a 5K in under 40 minutes. I'm just pulling numbers out of the air here. That would be a good base level for people to be at for their lives. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people who can't do those things. And so most people need to push outside of that comfort zone. I would say there's very, very few of our clients who could hit those numbers. Would be my concern as a coach and looking at levels of good health, of good strength that's going to help them achieve the goals that they want. I feel like I've rambled. That's the matter.
But yeah, I mean, the whole point of the resistance training is to force adaptation. You know, that's the thing. So if I can do 60K deadlift for 12 reps, my body's going to adapt to be able to do 60Ks for 12 reps. And if I continue to do that, there's no reason for my body to adapt. There's no reason for my body to get stronger. It's not going to happen. Yeah. So that's why we talk about progressive resistance training. And the benefits is because you've got all these variables that you can use. So I could add another set of 12, or I could do my 4 sets or 3 sets of 12, but take a shorter rest period, and that's going to increase the intensity. It's going to increase the volume. You know, you can change the tempo on these exercises. There's so many variables, and that's why, you know, resistance training is so good. But it's that adaptation that you're trying to force. Like you said, you know, we see the same people doing the same workouts in the same order with the same weights, shocker, looking exactly the same. And I was trying to think of a bit of an analogy. You know, it's like you starting off with 5 really basic French phrases, but then you think by repeating those constantly, you're going to be fluent in French. You're not. You're just going to be able to speak those 5 phrases really well. You know, there's no, you can have that one. There's no reason to adapt. So you've got to push it. So instead of me going 60K, I'll go, right, I did 12 last week. This thing I need to do minimum of 13. Or I need to do 65K for 12 reps. And that's how you keep on pushing the weights and the reps and the weights and the reps, because your body wants to adapt. And kind of the bit I wanted to get on is like, why is it so important? Or why is it, I don't want to say ideal because I don't want to put that pressure on people, but why is it such a good idea to lift weights when you're in a deficit? It's because we want to maintain as much muscle mass as possible. And we've got to trick your body into thinking, I need this. Because I wanted to get onto this when we talk about running, is your body's very smart at, again, adapting, but it wants to survive. So it wants to hold on to energy. That's usually in stored body fat, but it'll try and streamline itself. So if you're in a calorie deficit, which obviously you're in to lose weight, and you've got all this muscle, which is just costing your body energy effectively, it'll get rid of it unless it needs it. So you need to kind of dupe your body into thinking, right, I need this muscle to survive. Like every day Joe's going out and he's climbing up mountains to try and catch a goat for him and Chrissy to eat for dinner. So I need to hold on to these muscles in my arms and my back. And it's kind of forcing that adaptation, but then tricking your body into thinking every day we use these muscles, we need these. Because if not, it's going to use them or lose them. You know, that's when people go, oh, you know, you build all this muscle and then when you stop training, it all turns into fat. It doesn't. The muscle goes because there's no reason to have it. And usually people's diets are pretty crap and they just get fat. Anything to add to that?
No, not particularly. I think it made me think about myself, obviously. What you're saying, helpful to the people, makes me think about me, is that during lockdown, I started rowing. That's all I've done for the last 18 months, aside from probably 5 gym sessions. And one thing I noticed, interestingly, was that when I first started rowing, my ass was never sore. Yeah, it's something people talk about a lot. It's like pain from sitting on the seat for a long period of time.
I'm glad you clarified that.
And as, yeah, I think I was sat on it wrong. I don't know. Anyway, is that what actually then happened was I was basically losing muscle off my ass, and my ass became sore and sore. And today when I was at CrossFit having 2 step-ups, I was so weak. I found it really hard for me to get my weight on a single leg, holding additional weight across the boxes. Really difficult. And it's just a perfect example of what James has said there, is you just lose that muscle. You know, whilst you can do bike sprints, or you can do rower sprints, or you can do hill sprints, and you can do things that are beneficial, is that if you're not doing what's got you there, you're unlikely to be able to maintain it completely and fully. And I think that it's trying to find that balance that's right for you and something you enjoy. But there's certainly big merits. You know, for me, for someone who's gone from, I've kind of gone full circle now, I'm doing just weights to look good, and then going focused entirely on physical performance with the rowing and less concerned about how I look, to then going, well, actually, I'm not particularly enjoying this that much either. So there's a better balance with regards to just enjoying myself. And I have a sneaky suspicion that I'll look better from doing rugby, rowing and CrossFit than I do from, I know I will, 100%. Look at the average rower. I'm built like the average rower. They've got good physiques, they're lean, but they're not particularly big. Look at the average CrossFitter. Look at the average rugby player. Very different physiques there, and that'd be more what I would want to do. Also ties in nicely with muscle. You know, that's the link. Those guys are bigger, stronger, carry more muscle. So if that's my goal, if that's your goal, that has to be incorporated into your training. You can't, it's like when people say, I don't train legs, but I play football. That old bullshit that you'd hear a lot when you work as a PT. Why haven't you got big legs then? That worked. Your legs would look different. You know, there aren't football players with jacked legs compared to, trying to think of athletes with big legs now, sprint cyclists or rugby players or CrossFitters, you know, lots of people out there. Speed skaters tend to got decent wheels on them as well. So you have to look big at what butts. People are doing, and not just, again, it's that thing of just that justifying what you want to hear. You know, I'm doing enough, or, you know, this weight's heavy enough as it is. If you've done it for 3 months, then it's not heavy enough.
Yeah, you know, unless you don't want to make any progress. Unless you don't
want either to your anything. Program's got to either your program's got to change or your effort's got to change. And in my experience, almost always the effort. It's very, very rare someone is going in, grinding out those reps and hitting the same reps every time. The issue is because they're not grinding and they're not working hard enough.
Which moves us on smoothly, almost a smooth segue-ish. Onto kind of cardio, people who just do cardio or just want to do cardio for fat loss, or cardios that have to do cardio for fat loss. And again, it's going to burn calories, but going back to your body being super smart and wanting to conserve energy, you're going to become very efficient at it. And, you know, running is a great example of this. Now, there's tons of pros to running. It's super accessible. All you need is a pair of trainers. You can go out and do it at any time in any place. Don't need any specialist equipment. Again, you know, it's super, well, yeah, I probably, the biggest one is it's super accessible to everyone. It can be very sociable, running clubs, etc. However, your body wants to conserve energy, so it's going to become as efficient as possible. That's why people don't sprint marathons. You know, now look at Mo Farah. He runs very fast, but his body has completely streamlined itself, hasn't it? He's got very little muscle mass. He's super, super light. You know, he's super small. Because your body's trying to save as much energy as possible. When you look at people's running gaits, if you go to a running club or if you just see people running down the street, you can see how little they're moving to accomplish the task. Again, if they're jogging you know, distances, not so much sprinting. Look at the difference between a sprinter and a distance runner. You know, they're completely different styles. So you become very efficient. So then your calorie burn is going to drop. And again, you know, you're going to be more likely to drop muscle mass. Yeah, I'm just not a fan of just cardio. Again, it's as with our approach, isn't it? It's going to come down to what you enjoy. And we're not like, right, you have to do this because this is optimal. But as a coach, I like to advise people and say, you know, educate, I suppose. And for me, just taking a complete cardio approach, it's not going to be the best approach. Now, it can be a approach. And, you know, doing no exercise at all can be a approach. It's just, I think when people feel, you know, again, I suppose a bit miseducated, like you have to do cardio for fat loss. Cardio is the best for fat loss. It's better than weight training. And again, I suppose we get mixed up with the whole weight loss, fat loss debate, numbers on the scales. But if I'm building muscle, you're probably not building muscle, but you know, you might be taking on a bit more glycogen. It's just, yeah, I think, you know, with the cardio stuff, like I said, you know, you get lots of people doing couch to 5K, etc. Is it going to be the best for fat loss? I'm going to say not for body composition.
We have a moral obligation to provide the best advice, don't we? You know, and if someone, the lady I mentioned at the start of the call, she's been walking and made really good progress, then cool, big thumbs up from me. I'm not going to say to her, you need to do this or you should do this. If she comes to me and says, I want to achieve more, then that would be my suggestion. I've got another lady who's making really good progress, like 10 pounds in 5 weeks. She is a runner. She loves running. I'm not going to question her running. This is a more a situation if someone says, what should I do? Or I'm not making progress. How can I make more progress? But then it's my duty to kind of step in and to say, look, this is a way that we can improve this situation. And I think you're always going to, you know, as coaches, we're always going to be impacted by our own ideals. So for me, rowing, you know, I would say I moved more towards that place of you can maintain your weight, do really well with just cardio. Absolutely, you can. I've just mentioned clients who are. One of the issues is we are dealing with people who are overweight, who are carrying more weight than their frame is genetically used to. One of the phrases from old Ian Entwistle, good friend of ours, Mo Farah runs because he's thin. He's not thin because he runs. So Mo Farah could probably do anything and he wouldn't gain much weight. Or eat whatever he likes, he wouldn't gain much weight. He is genetically disposed to this. I know people don't want to look like Mo Farah, but the point I'm getting at here is he is the exception, not the rule. Someone was telling me recently there's a plan. It's like Couch to 5K, but includes weightlifting and is a slower progression. And I was like, oh, I wonder why people need that. And apparently, a lot of the Couch to 5K groups are full of, this is Facebook I'm talking here, full of people who are injured because it's not progressive enough, because people aren't built to run, because they're too heavy, because they've got poor gait, poor mechanics, they're not strong enough. If you look at, there's a couple of ladies, so there's like an early morning running club that goes around near us, and there's some ladies who are quick, and they're flying, and they look like runners. There's another lady who we see who is reading between the lines, anorexic, or very, very thin, is underweight. She is a lot slower because she doesn't have the adequate muscle to propel herself forward. She doesn't have the energy to fuel her training. Reading between the lines, I don't know her, but from my knowledge of exercise physiology, she is not strong enough to run efficiently. She does not have the requisite energy stores compared to, say, Paula Radcliffe. You look at her, she's in good shape. She was in very good shape. And it's trying to marry up what you enjoy, what you're going to do consistently, what's not going to keep you injured. You know, don't go running if you've got bad knees. Don't do the 200 squats a day challenge if you've got bad knees, because it's not fit for purpose. This is not going to work for you. And if you look at what is fit for purpose, strength training is, I would say, accessible to a lot more people in regards to a health and safety perspective. If you do it properly, you're not going to injure yourself. It's only going to benefit. If you look at, there's a study I saw recently that was saying about back pain, this massive like meta-analysis that was looking at it, so basically saying strength train your back pain away. And people avoid these things because they're worried about injuring themselves, but so often this strength piece. I was speaking to my missus, who's a physio, I was speaking about this a while ago, and I was saying, when you look at older people who are or infirm people, what do people need more? Do they need more mobility or do they need more strength? Think about myself, you know, I'm quite strong, I don't move particularly well. for longevity, should I do more yoga? Well, in my example, yes. But most people need to be stronger. That's the missing piece for the vast majority of people. And there's just all of these different little points that just nudge you along. Or maybe it's my perception. Maybe it's because of what I believe. But there seems to be a lot of evidence that this is the right way to go. And therefore, when people are struggling with their results, that's what we're going to recommend them towards.
100%. Is it wrong to be strong? No. But yeah, and he's going to be, like you said, that's the way I approach it with my clients as well. Like, I'm just going to give you advice. You know, whether you action it or you act on it, that's totally up to you. But I'm going to say, this is something that we could do different. You know, from what you're saying, this is what I would advise. And it's totally, you know, like a doctor. Joe, I think you should cut down on your drinking. Nah. You know, it's advice. Like, you don't drink much anymore, do you? It's just advice. And again, you know, this, like these podcasts, they're educational. So if you will, you know, again, exercise and fat loss, is exercise essential for fat loss? No. If someone was looking to exercise for fat loss, which I would advise that everyone exercises, I'd recommend progressive resistance training and some intervals. But it has to be adaptive. Even the intervals, you know, we look at people, again, you know, this is a common one when people go like, I did a 45 or I did a 60-minute HIIT class. And you just think straight away, I'm like, red flag. No, you didn't.
That's going to have some crunches in, isn't it? You know, straight away.
You know what I mean? Like, and they come up all the time. You see them on YouTube, and I watched one, and it's like, you know, bodyweight squats, bicycle crunches, bicep curls. Like, these are not high-intensity exercises. I love a bicep curl. Don't get me wrong. I love a bicycle crunch, but it's not, you know, and again, going back to like what you said about the running piece, again, the most common thing with running is overuse injuries. You know, again, people not being physically prepared to do those things. And people are, you know, if you've never exercised or you've not exercised since you did bloody PE in your pumps, you had to get changed in the classroom. Don't try and do explosive knees or, you know, double pause squat jumping jacks, and you're going to do yourself in.
I think it's so hard, isn't it? Because I have full empathy with people thinking, I want to go and do something that's interesting. I want to do something that's varied. Mm-hmm. And there's not many people who, like me and you, are like, oh, deadlifts and bent over rows, perfect. I've done those 1,000 times. But you have to, there has to be this acceptance piece and this chasing of novelty. And I think that it's trying to marry those things up. Like, will I get as strong as possible doing CrossFit? No. Because CrossFit's too varied. Will I get stronger than doing absolutely nothing? Absolutely. And so will that get me to a point I'm happy at? Yeah, it would do. That, you know, for me, I know I don't need to try and deadlift 200 kilos. I just want to get a bit stronger than I am right now. Quite a bit stronger than I am right now because I'm weak as a kid. But it's, at least I'm taking steps. The action that I'm putting in is sufficient to get to the results I want. I want to be a bit stronger. So therefore, the path I'm on now will get to that goal. Most people want fat loss and to be stronger, but they're doing bent over rows with 2-4 kilo dumbbells. That is not a requisite action to get where you want. That is, don't want to be nasty, but that's where I wouldn't start in one of those weights. I would put someone on heavier weights than that who's never lifted. I'd give someone a 15 kilo bar and I would be surprised if there's many people who can't do them. And I think that, just to go back to that point, because my one of my concerns is that quite a few people are listening to this and go, well, I'm doing squats and bent over rows and I'm doing lat pull downs and walking lunges, but the weights they're using are warm up weights and they're not trying hard enough. And I think that it sounds really nasty, but for, you know, I have a wealth of experience, you have even more experience. So we know what people are capable of. You know, I can look at those numbers when someone's going, oh, the 12 kilo kettlebell is really heavy to deadlift. No, it's not, because your bag on holiday is 20 kilos. So you can pick it up. And I just, it's that piece, isn't it? And I think it's quite hard with stuff like this because I just know. And I imagine parents have got this all the time with like, I just know a bit more than you.
It's like putting your elbow in the bath. That's what I always thought. You know, when you're setting up for a client and you go, right, we're going to do pull downs. You're going to do something to pulley, and you do one rep. You're like, that'll be all right for them. It's like that little, I'm just putting my elbow in the bath. Yeah, that's hot enough. That's perfect.
Yeah. And you know, don't you?
Yeah. It's just intuitive. Like you said, you know, when you see someone's program, they send it through and you're like, right, you overhead press 20 kilos for 12 reps, but then you deadlifted 20, you know, whatever I said, 20 kilos for 12 reps. Yeah, it's like, that's such a massive mismatch. Like, that's nowhere near tough enough for you. You know, there's loads left in the tank there.
So how do you know that then? So what proof have you got that's the case?
Mate, because you should be able to deadlift about 20 times more than you could overhead press unless you are like built like an inverted triangle.
That's because you've got a crap overhead press.
But it's because it's just body mechanics, isn't it? Like you're literally picking something off the floor using every single muscle group you've got, whereas you're pressing overhead using your shoulders and your triceps. It's just that knowledge piece. You just know that that's not going to be the right intensity. Like there's something way off on these numbers.
Yeah, you've got where I wanted you to get to. I think the thing I like to use is hands, like your shoulders, my shoulders in particular, about the size of two hands. If you look at a deadlift, hamstrings, glutes, lower back, traps, you've got all these pieces that can stabilize that lift. That's a lot of hands of muscle that can lift that weight, quads if you deadlift that way. So therefore, I know you can lift more than that. And just from my experience of working with hundreds, if not, I doubt I've worked with thousands of PT clients, but just from being in the gym and knowing what human beings are capable of, you just have to tie back into that bit at the start. Push outside your comfort zone. Just try it. You know, I'm sure you've had this before. You have battles with PT clients. You say, just want you to try it. Like, I get nothing from you failing. If you cannot pick that weight off the ground, that's not good for me in regards to this working relationship. I wouldn't ask you to do something I didn't know you could do. You know, there'll be times I'll be like, try and get 8, you know, have a bad day and not get it. But it's very, very rare, especially with sustain, because we're not looking at people. We don't know their build. So if I'm looking at your weights and I know they're too light, then I definitely know. Then I'm hand on heart certain. So I wouldn't say, no, you can deadlift 80 kilos because it's irresponsible coaching. You're more likely going to hurt someone there. The first rule is don't hurt the client. So it's, you know, the advice that we're giving is coming from such a place of certainty with regards to what people can lift. You know, it's not like we're talking about big numbers here, and that's the example I use, like a bent over row with 15 kilos. I would guarantee my mum would be able to do that. You know, maybe not loads of reps, but she could do. You know, my mum's 67. There's not many clients who are 67, so you just have to, trust, push outside your comfort zone, and give it a go.
Again, forcing that adaptation, isn't it? And that does even come down into the cardio part of it. Again, cardio is a little bit harder because cardio is a little bit harder. Because it depends what you're doing. If you're doing these steady state stuff, then you just have to go for further. You know, because then if you go, right, well, I'm going to go the same distance, but I'm going to go faster and faster and faster, then all of a sudden it stops being steady state as such and it becomes kind of like a moderate intensity one. But even with, you know, kind of like sprints and, you know, I would rather, like I said, with the HIIT training, I'd rather see someone get on an air bike or get on a rower, you know, something else that they can do sprints on, the ski erg, whatever it is. And push that because then again, it's low skill, it's low impact as well, as opposed to them trying to do jump squats into jump lunges into explosive press ups. Like, come on.
It's just important. And I guess, why do we poo poo that stuff then? Because it's so hard to progress. Because you can do a jump squat and one day you can sit really low and one day you can jump a bit higher. You know, and that's the good thing with CrossFit is having movement standards. The good thing with rowing or running or a watt bike is you have the numbers in front of you. Whereas all these things, you know, you can do a really, you know, you watch people cheat in classes, don't you? Doing like little half star jumps, especially being a PT, you'd see someone be like, you're cheating no one but yourself. Yeah. I kind of feel like you're cheating me because it's my class. But it's just, and that's what people do. And that's why you need things. And same with when we goal set with people. I want a specific goal for you to work towards, for you to keep focused. Because if you just say, I want to feel a bit better, well, tomorrow morning you have a good night's sleep, you're going to feel a bit better. But you haven't changed anything. You haven't actually achieved anything. You've just manipulated the circumstances somewhat. And it's, you know, people pay us to get results. If I don't get someone a result, then I'm not happy with what I've delivered. And if I try and find wishy-washy ways around it, if your goal is, you see this with PT as well, people come and go, I want to lose weight. They don't lose weight. You go, but your bench press is higher. Who gives a shit? You didn't come in for a better bench press. You came in to lose weight. And it's such a weak coach approach to then, and I'm all for looking for the positives. But in that instance, if someone's looking to lose weight, you need to find out why they're not losing weight. Don't just go, well, you've improved at this. And it's just an important, I've had a bit of a rant again, just an important aside that, you know, we're saying these things from a position of caring because we want to see you do well, not because we get our kicks from people doing as we say. You know, that's just not how it works. It's not what we're about.
No, with the fat loss sat navs that way, and it's like I would advise you to take this route But if you take a detour, I'm going to go, okay, cool. At the next available point, get back on fucking track.
I got a good example of that as well, is that we were driving along the other day and Google was like, go this way. And Chrissy was like, oh, he's definitely slow. I'm not going that way. I kid you not, we went around the corner and we stopped straight away. It was like, of course Google knows. Google's worth, you know, 100 billion or whatever it is. And you just, you know, it's that piece of me and you haven't got that much data and experience behind this, but we have a lot more than our clients, and therefore, yeah. You know, a bit more trust would be nice. But I understand people's trepidation with it too, but it's making sure that, and this is why trust is so important in a coaching relationship, is to make sure that people do have buy-in and they do push themselves outside of that comfort zone, because ultimately we want to see you do well and good things will come from it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to pull back to the podcast.
exercise,
I thought we were just chatting. Exercise is fantastic. It's not going to be the be-all and end-all of your results. That's always going to come down to nutrition, which obviously we can help with. You know, our advice would always be to follow a progressive resistance training plan that you control the variables with. And again, you know, people are like, well, you know, for your example of CrossFit, like I love CrossFit. It's great. But the bit that, like you said, you kind of highlighted it, the bit I didn't like is the lack of progression in it. Because unless you do, you know, 2 or 3 months of just repeating the same workouts, it's really, really random, which again is great for clients because it's entertaining. You don't know what's going to happen. Oh, I'm doing handstands this week. Oh, I'm going for a run this week. Oh, I'm rowing this week. You know, it's different. But then because there's no repetition, it's very hard to see the progression. And that's one of the things that kind of I found frustrating, was like, right, we're going to work up to a 3 rep max back squat. You're like, brilliant. Right, I'm going to get like 160 on here. You get to 110, you're like, I've not back squatted for 3 reps for 6 months. Like, I'm shaking like a dog doing something. So that was one of the things that I found a drawback. And again, things like body pump, and people are like, well, lift weight, it's in body pump. Yeah, but the only thing you've got control over there is the weights that you select. You've got no control over the tempo, the reps, the exercise order, you know. Again, and all exercise is fantastic. We're talking kind of what would be ideal for your goals. And again, it's all just advice. But even things we like running, conscious this podcast is going on a bit, is you've got to force that adaptation. You know, if you just get to a point where you run 5K, like you said, in 40-odd minutes, then that's all you're going to be able to do. And still you start pushing that envelope and trying to do 6K, 7K, 10K, or, you know, run it under 40 minutes, or, you know, do a different route, which is more intense, which has got more hills in. So it's always got to force that adaptation unless you're happy where you are. You know, unless you're happy. I know plateauing is not a word that a lot of our clients are happy with. I feel like I'm going to plateau this week. That's always a good one. What? What is that even?
And that's last point for me. That's why tracking stuff is so important, because otherwise you have absolutely no idea what's going on. Whether that be weights, inches, weights you're lifting, how fast you're running, how fast you're rowing. The more you can have data like that, the better. I'd always encourage my clients, your clients, everyone's clients, log what you're doing with your coach, because it will just keep you more accountable. Log your steps, log how many times you ran. Anything is good. But the more you can do, the better.
But again, as well, just to tie that in before we finish, and that's why repetition is so important. And I know it's not sexy. I know it's boring. You know, boring like us. Uh-huh. What's on today? Well, you know, I'm going to do deadlifts, and I'm going to do squats, and I'm going to do lunges. And I've been doing this since I was 15 years old, and I still do the same exercises. What does that tell you as well? That's another thing. Like, well, quick one. When I spoke to someone and they were like, oh, this is my goals, this is what I want to do. And I said, okay, well, this is what I'd suggest you doing. And he went, oh, not you as well. My other two PTs said exactly the same thing. I don't know. Like, well, what does that tell you? Like, that's the route to your goals. Anyway, is when we see people, like, you know, again, with the running or with the gyms, they're not recording anything. They're not repeating anything. So if your goal was to run 10K in an hour, say, I don't even know if that's a good time, but all you ran was just random things and you never timed it, and some days you run 6K, some days you run 2K, some days you run 3K, you're never going to know if you're going to get there. And that's the kind of thing we see, like I said, when people go in and just, I'm just going to make it up in the gym, I'm going to do this, oh, this exercise looks fun, oh, I've seen this on Instagram, I'll do this. Like, there's no way of tracking progress, there's no way of seeing if you are progressing, because if you do incline dumbbell bench press for 10 kilos for 12 reps, and then the next workout you do flat dumbbell bench press for 15 kilos for 6 reps, but then you do a machine press, or, you know, it, there's no way of seeing, like I said in that example earlier, you just need to do one more rep. You just need to do 2.5 kilos more. You just have to do one more set. That's how you progress. What are you going to say, Joe? You look like you were reading something then.
I was reading something. I was looking at, I think you're a good example. You know, you said you're doing the same things. What? How old are you again? You're 42, 43?
43.
43 is how many people look at you and think you're 43? How many 43-year-old blokes would have the chest-to-waist proportion that you have, or the body fat that you have? Not very many would be my thought. As you know, I was saying to Chrissy the other day that, you know, I wasn't the best-looking chap in school. You get better looking as you get older if you just don't get massively out of shape. You know, I'm looking at people I went to school with and just watching people gain weight and lose their health, and this is just how it goes unless you follow, you know, unless you work on this stuff. And it's
weight training is the fountain of youth. But even like, you know, again, nearly finished. When you look at, there's a really famous like MRI that goes around about someone's quads. You're not seeing it.
The triathlete in there, really good.
Yeah, when it's like, I can't remember how old they are. Can you remember?
Like 70, isn't he?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, triathletes' legs. So obviously, you know, a lot of running, a lot of cycling. You're, I'm going to say resistance training, full of muscle. And then it's like an average 70-year-old, and there's absolutely nothing there because, again, it's that use it or lose it. And we're going to lose muscle mass. I think it's like a couple of pounds per year we lose on average after the age of 25. So unless you convince your body, I need these muscles, it's going to go. Just going to go, and you're just going to deteriorate. So, what a terrible ending to a podcast.
If you type in triathlete muscle scan into Google, it's every single one of the top 30
injuries. It's a shocker, isn't it? It's absolutely shocking.
So the 74-year-old triathlete and the 40-year-old triathlete's legs are basically the same. The 74-year-old sedentary is so much fatter than muscles in bits. It's really interesting. You could put that on the podcast, Richard, if you like.
Right, so that's
no, it. No one got to the end of this one. It's been about 80 minutes.
It's a long one. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a review, which I forgot to check. And if you do leave a review, there's definitely some from 2019. We'll read it out. So make sure it's hilarious. Right. Good night. God bless. It's time to clean this mess.